This is hour two of the 9 to Noon Show on this Thursday morning here on Highland Radio. Just looking at a few of your comments. Cotter says, it's the government that should be sponsoring the likes of this. It just goes to show what our government is like. It's a total waste of space. I suspect that comment refers to the services being provided by Cancer Care West, for which money is being raised by the Donegal Camino, which is underway. It's day five of the Camino. They're on Arranmore Island today, and we're making regular contact with Greg Hughes, who's doing that walk today, along with the walkers. And we'll be touching back in with Greg very, very shortly. The school secretary and caretaker strike is continuing into the sixth day now, and a lot of messages coming in. We want to send a message of support to Kathy and James, our school secretary and caretaker at Skull Owen in Moville. They're currently on strike for fair pension conditions. Their hard work is crucial to our children's safety and the school experience. As parents, we stand by them in their fight for a fair resolution. And that comes from Susan, and there's a message of support in for Kathy and James from the other school staff, the teachers, etc. as well. Fair play to them, says a caller. People keep on strike till you get what other people get. I just want to say the bus escorts on special need buses get nothing either. Please highlight that as well. It's about time the teachers and the teachers' unions got behind the secretaries in real terms, not just in terms of lip service. Another caller says we should stand with school secretaries and SNA's campaigns for equal treatment. Historically, governments play it tough with females, often mother-dominated groups, on protests such as teachers, nurses and secretaries. They let them swing in the wind and rain before engaging in talks in the hope that other parties like parents start to complain. A lot of comments still coming in about the cutting down of the oak tree in Letterkenny. Caller says, the cutting down of the 90-year-old Ballyrain oak was soul-destroying for me personally as someone who spent their life in America. It says there is no hope of a future for Donegal where a colonial, cold, calculated, ignorant arrogance rules supreme over all democracy and the wishes of the people. This was not only a crime against democracy, but a crime against nature and against Letterkenny. Just as this crime was committed in the dead of night, it is now time to relegate the Donegal County Council to the dustbin of history. Strong words there indeed. That's from Raymond. However, another caller says the sad reality of life is this is the price of progress. Sometimes in the long run, these decisions are made in the best interests of the community, even if the short-sighted tree huggers don't see it. We have to trust the qualified decision makers. Another caller says, Ray, the despicable decision to fell that majestic oak tree by the council, it was nothing less than ecocide. This so-called active travel scheme is one of the worst anti-environmental measures ever introduced, ripping up perfectly sound roads, destroying hedgerows and mature trees. I hope voters forever remember it was the Green Party who brought in this insane policy. It's time to actively block this from proceeding any further through Letterkenny. Our town is being turned into a scalextrics set. For those of you who are under 40, Scalextrics used to be a great car racing game that was played by children. Donegal County Council is the same as our government. They'll do what they want. If they don't, it's like, who cares? Then they talk about Putin and Trump. Donegal County Council are going to have a public meeting about traffic. They will sit there, pretend to listen and still do their own thing. Forget about the cycle lanes and sort out the traffic with a bridge or at least a slip lane out of the Polestar from the Remelton Road. These trees weren't causing any problems. Our council are absolutely inept at what they are doing regarding roads and traffic. The electorate in Letterkenny should remember the councillors who voted to remove the tree and install a cycle lane at the next election. And then another caller says there are a number of councillors who should hang their heads in shame about cutting down this tree. Councillors who supported the active travel proposal. I hope the people who signed the petition to save the oak tree remember the councillors that voted to cut down the tree in the next election. Now, in fairness, the council will tell you that no councillor specifically voted to cut down the tree. And I know the members were in active discussions with the council in a bid to save the tree, but the decision was not a decision of councillors. That was an executive decision taken by council officials. Now, I know a lot of people won't necessarily see the distinction in that, and it's but that is the situation. The councillors were in discussion with officials to see if there was an alternative. Fair play to that lady. Typical of the council to cut it down in the middle of the night. Fit them better to sort out and get a lane for emergency services coming in the Port Road. And that lady, I presume this is Mary T. Sweeney, that's being referred to, who was speaking with Greg on the show yesterday. The only solution to Letterkenny's traffic problems is a bridge. Politicians have failed us over and over. Time to stop voting for them. And the only thing I'll say is every politician in Donegal is supportive of the Bonnygee Link and the second bridge over the Swilly. There is not one single politician within the county who is against that. Everyone is voting for it. Everyone is campaigning for it. Everyone is pushing for it. And I don't think That's an issue in terms of local support for that bridge. Another caller says, I walk the Business Park Road footpath cycle lane most evenings. It's in an atrocious condition. In some stretches, part of the footpath has been 50% has been lost to tree growth. It's absolute hypocrisy to be building new cycle lanes and footpaths whilst completely abandoning the existing infrastructure. Spend the money on maintaining what we have instead of the monstrosity vanity project that is the Ballyrain Greenway. There's a sum of the comments in regarding the oak tree there. Now, a very important issue. Can you get Ishke Aaron on to explain why there are repeated outages in southwest Donegal as they're ignoring citizens? Now, we know this. There was a major problem in the Letchermeck Ward water supply plant this week, and that had a knock-on effect right over toward Duhery and then over toward Mahari and Dewey and places like that. And we know that the school in Duhery, I understand, had to close for a period, and several homes were without water for quite some time, to the extent that they had to bring a tanker out to the car park there at Letchermeck Ward. Now, that we understand that particular issue has been resolved, but there were knock-on issues then, and it impacted right up as far as Dunloe, and there's going to be more issues, I suspect, in that particular area. Ishke Aaron is meeting later this month with Donegal County Council. Now, members are telling us, and members of council are telling us, that they're finding it impossible to get answers from Ishke Aaron. Ishke Aaron is telling us, I mean, when we can get in touch with them, Ishke Aaron is telling us that it's working to resolve issues, but I am not aware that they have in any way agreed to speak to either the programme or the newsroom, or to come on and take questions with regards to what's been happening in Letchermeck Ward, or indeed the area around Tlahonili, Dunfanaghy, Falkara, Creasla, that's had a number of serious problems in recent times as well. One more before we go for a break. A caller asks, is it illegal to have a pipe with slurry on it in a river? I was out walking this morning near Glen Swilly and I saw a slurry tanker pipe in a small river that flows into the Swilly. The pipe looks like it's been there a while as the grass around the area is flattened. It's like someone is filling a slurry tanker with water from the river regularly. The pipe still has slurry on it and the smell is quite strong. Approximately 500 to 600 metres downriver, this small river flows into the Swilly. Now, we've had a response from Donegal County Council to the issue, and the council says this. This particular incident can be investigated if the listener contacts the council's environmental section and provides more accurate details of the location in question. The practice of lifting quantities of water from surface water streams for the dilution of slurry is commonplace. There is no legislation to prevent it. The onus is on farmers and contractors to take care to ensure that this practice does not lead to contamination of the water source they are accessing through the use of dirty pipes in the extraction process. The council appeals to anyone extracting water for the dilution of slurry, as the slurry spreading season draws to a close, to ensure that any hose pipes inserted into small streams or rivers are cleaned before use and are used solely for this purpose. Farmers are reminded that water quality in streams, rivers and lakes has been found to continue to decline nationally, and this may have serious medium to long-term consequences for the agricultural industry in this country. So that's a response there from Donegal County Council. Just before the break, we were speaking briefly about Ishke Aaron and the water situation in southwest Donegal, and I did mention that those issues in Letchermeck Ward had spread out toward other areas, including Mahari, and suggested that there would be more issues in those areas in the coming days. Well, wouldn't you know, as always, our listeners know an awful lot more than I do. And we're joined on the line by Mary, who is involved with the Mahari Senior Social Club. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
Mary, your club meets on a Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, the water situation is you didn't have water yesterday, but do have it today, as I understand.
Well, yes, that is correct. But we had a lot of misinformation over the last few days. On Monday, we were aware there was some water issues, but it wasn't affecting us. On Tuesday, we had our seniors back after our summer break. Big excitement, and everything went okay. But we were aware there was water issues, so we filled extra like water containers, filled a boiler for tea, etc., just in case, you know, there was breakage in the supply. And for Wednesday, Pat de Cope had a post online for Tuesday evening saying that he was assured that there would be water for Wednesday. So we, of course, planned to go forward. But on Wednesday morning, local people were saying they had no water. And yes, when we got to Mahari, we absolutely had no water, nothing. So we were left in a situation where everybody was already in preparation for attending our day centre. And at a late notice, once we realised we were not going to have water, but again, even trying to get information from anybody from Mishka Éireann, no information. So there was a lack of communication and misinformation that we weren't in a situation then to cancel until approximately 10 o'clock in the morning.
And I'm sure at that point, a lot of people were, if not already arriving, on their way to the centre. And the reality is, a centre like that can't operate without water. They'll expect the cup of tea. But I mean, for hygiene purposes as well, for toiletry and other convenience purposes, I mean, you know, a centre like yours just cannot operate without water safely.
Yeah, well, here's the issue, you know, apart from the excitement of us starting back, like, if somebody could have told us the evening before and said, okay, you're going to have no water. But, like, to be left, you know, I think the misinformation coming from online, particularly Pat de Cope's post, saying that he was assured from whoever is supplying the water that we would have water. So we were told that. So obviously we carried on. But yes, it's disappointment. And another thing, we weren't given information so people could prepare. So as I was calling everybody and cancelling the bus services, a lot of people weren't prepared to have no water. Speaking this morning to Enid Mahara, there is water in the centre this morning. But there's a lot of houses in the area that still haven't got water because it's just filtering through. And I know some of the houses on the higher ground may have to wait the rest of the day. And they have no facilities for, you know, flushing toilets and making tea and having a shower or washing hands. It's very unfair to be left without any information.
I think, in fairness to Mishka Éireann, I will say my understanding is on this occasion there was a specific problem that they were working around the clock to try and resolve in Letchamacca Ward, and that was having a knock-on effect to Mahari over toward Duhurry and elsewhere as well. It did have a knock-on right as far we understand up to Dunloe. But from the point of view of what was happening in Letchamacca Ward, and in fairness to Pat de Cope, I suppose, he was told that evening by Mishka Éireann, I'm sure, that they said, look, we're working to resolve it. We should have it resolved by the morning. Now, and maybe at that point, they genuinely did expect to have it resolved by the morning, but it took all night working to try and get it resolved. And they always tell us that if once they stop work on a thing like that, it's going to take potentially minimum 3 to 4 hours before they can actually get the water supply fully back up to speed. So that information was probably given, you know, in good faith. But the problem is, it wasn't information. It was a projection. It was a hope that it would be resolved in the morning. And expectation and hope is you know, it's all well and good. But that's not information. And part of the problem here is what's being expressed as a hope is being taken as concrete information. And maybe what we need to do is to be more honest and say, look, we hope to have water in the morning, but we can't guarantee it. And please take steps accordingly to provide.
Yeah, that's probably good advice. And hindsight is a good thing. But look, a lot of people had to go about their daily business yesterday with absolutely no water all day. I know there was no water. I know Enid and Mahara had to cancel other classes yesterday evening because they just didn't have the facilities and they had to, yeah. It just doesn't help our local area or our local people.
And the problem is, and we do know there's been a long-standing issue with Mishka Éireann and information. And in one sense, the problem is that this would have been under the control of Donegal County Council up to very recently. And when it was under the control of Donegal County Council, and this is the bottom line, and I think this is at the root of a lot of the issues we're having with Mishka Éireann at the moment. When it was under the control of the County Council, every councillor had the number of 3 or 4 people who would have worked in the water service, would have worked at the reservoirs would have intimately known what was going on. And a councillor could ring someone and say, what's the crack? They'd say, yeah, it'll be sorted by X. And they would know what they were talking about. Your problem now is you've got three or four layers. The people that councillors are contacting in Inishke Éireann don't know the situation. So the councillors are contacting people in a communications department who are contacting people in management who are contacting people on the ground. So instead of councillors being able to speak to the person on the ground and get the up-to-date situation, the councillors are speaking to somebody in an office who doesn't have a clue what's going on the ground, and it's going through three or four layers before the information gets to the people, and that's really created a bottleneck that hasn't yet been resolved. And trying to bridge that gap is going to be a major challenge for Inishke Éireann in the next while, if they're to really get information out to the people. Because what's happening at the moment is Inishke Éireann may well say in good faith, look, we're doing what we can to resolve the situation, but until they can get the information out there, they're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Well, look, I can't do anything about Inishke Éireann.
Yeah.
But look, we'll look after our seniors and our local people. And please God, we'll get back to normal duties next week and get everybody out of their homes, because that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're doing a lot of social inclusion and getting people together and having a fun day out.
And it's hugely important. And Mary, the work that you and others in senior clubs like that, the Senior Social Club in Mahari, it's so important, and it's so wonderful that you're doing the work. Mary Rogers there at the Mahari Senior Social Club, thank you so much for the work you do, and we look forward to hearing that all the clients and the people are having the crack in the coming days. But for now, Mary, thank you.
Thank you, Donald. Bye.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe from our point of view as well, I'm in the news, and every day on the news I am reading out notices from Inishke Éireann about work happening here and work happening there and potential supply issues, and please allow X amount of time for. And maybe I, as a journalist who's reading this stuff on a daily basis, maybe I need to be reminded on a regular basis that when you're talking about things like this, what you're talking about is real life. And indeed, caller says, look, I live in Mahari. We're having a lot of problems with water in the area. This morning we're off once again. It's very frustrating with winter setting in. I'm lighting my fire more and this leaves me with no heat. And indeed, if you have a back boiler, then, you know, that's you're heating out the window if you're depending on a back boiler. It's so difficult, and it's important that we get information. But again, as I said, the part of the problem here is there's information and there is hope and expectation, and sometimes they don't tally. Caller says, ask that lady, why is it all the new houses are sealed tight? Not one drop of air gets around the house, and that's why everyone will be sick more often. That's an interesting point. Now, I remember when I was growing up we were in a three-bedroomed semi in a housing estate in Waterford. And I had a vent in my bedroom. There was a little vent. I'm sure a lot of people have it. They sort of stuck out at a sort of 45 degree angle from the wall with a space. And every room in the house had one of those, as well as obviously windows that would have been opened on a regular basis. And now I suppose places are more hermetically sealed, but the expectation is there'll be air conditioning and there'll be filters and there'll be everything else. And sometimes the best filtration is an open window, just like sometimes the best way of becoming immune to stuff is just having, you know, falling down in the dust and getting the dust into the wounds and building up immunity to stuff that way. It's an interesting one. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we're back, we're going to be speaking about carers' allowances and the age-old question, should they be means-tested? Back in a moment. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Halfway through, it's at 25 to 11. Means-testing carers' allowance. There's been a long and lengthy discussion about it, with many people believing it's unfair that the allowance is means-tested. And what happens if someone just goes a notch over the threshold and they have their carers' allowance cut? Well, that's what happened to Anthony, who joins us on the line. Anthony, good morning.
How are you doing, though?
Very well indeed. Anthony, please tell us your story.
Story is fairly simple. The means threshold was increased, but we knew that there was a round of means testing coming. I mean, we knew we were going to fall foul of it, but there's nothing we could really do. You know, it hasn't been increased. I mean, they patting themselves on the back because they've increased it, but they haven't increased it enough. I'm not coming on here saying it shouldn't be means tested to a degree. But, I mean, give us a little bit of breathing space, a little bit of wiggle room to earn a living and provide for our families and the vulnerable people that, like people like ourselves, provide 24-hour care for. I mean, the speed and efficiency with which they swooped in and cut everything out from under us was it was jarring. So, like I say, I mean, maybe a case-by-case basis and not a one-size-fits-all. I know I'm not saying anybody isn't entitled to it. Everybody in their situation is entitled to it. But maybe review the cases. I mean, us personally, our son is severely disabled. He requires 24/7 care. And it's more just the punch to the stomach when they come in and say, you guys are doing just fine. We'll just take this couple of euro off you. You don't need that. And away they go, quite happy. And you just left there feeling just, God, guys, come on, give us a break. Like we're doing good. Like we have a family, we're working hard, we're paying our taxes. Give us a break.
You did make the point that your wife is the main carer for your son, but she does also go out to work, and she has to do that to preserve her sanity. And I can absolutely understand that, and I think everybody else would as well.
I would never ever ask my wife to stop working. I mean, everybody needs a social outlet. I mean, we've got four teenagers in the house. Our eldest boy, 19, is the son with a disability, but we've got three other teenagers. One's going to be hopefully going to college next year. That's going to be another expense, and they help out so much in the house as well. Like it's a family affair looking after our son AJ. You know, everybody does their bit, and it works for us. And you know. I mean, I don't want to say it's not about the money, because you're going to notice the money, you know, that they've cut. But it's just the coldness of it, you know. I mean, if everybody who looked after their family members at home, like we all do, and we all do it, and we all love our family members. But what if we all just turned around and said, okay, this is an adult here. This is an Irish citizen. You look after him. Like, not that anybody would ever do that, and they know this.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's a drop in the bucket, you know, compared to what it would cost to look after these people in you know, in care homes or whatever. Mm. Obviously, not that anybody would ever do that, but
the problem is, this does appear to be a decision based on accounting rather than a decision based on the actual understanding of what you and your wife and the rest of your family are doing, and an understanding of the expense that you're sparing the state. Anthony, stay with us, please. I want to go to Sinn Féin councillor Jack Murray. He's the Kilkearlach of the Inishowen Municipal District. And Jack, this issue of the means testing of the carer's allowance, that's something that your party has taken a keen interest in.
It is. One of the last motions we moved in the Dáil just before the last general election was to abolish the means testing for carers. And at that time, we got platitudes from the government parties. Simon Harris at the time said that they were a party that listens and takes action, and that they're going to act on this. But here we are a year later, and these families getting these letters saying that the carers are being cut. And I want to pay tribute to Anthony. Anthony, very clearly, and I've spoken to him today and yesterday, is a man that loves his son and simply just wants what's best for his son. And this has been a punch in the stomach for him. And it has to be an accountancy decision, and it's about saving the state money. But in reality, it's not even doing that, because if these carers, people who are providing 24-hour care for their loved ones, if the state had to step in, it would cost billions more if it was necessary. Now, Anthony says that's not going to happen in his case.
But
like, if it was to happen, then the state are just levelling this on families, knowing that they're loving families, knowing that they want what's best for their families, and thinking, actually, we can save money by exploiting youth. And that's just desperately immoral, unfair, and just shows a lack of compassion from the state. So I think there has to be action on this, and the means testing has to be abolished.
Now, when Sinn Féin moved a motion on this just before the end of the last Dáil toward the end of the year there, the government, it wasn't defeated. The government didn't oppose it, but that's not to say the government supported it. Effectively, when the government doesn't oppose a motion, the motion is passed, the motion just goes nowhere because it's not a government motion. So in one sense, the proposal that's gone through the Dáil and has been passed is out there in limbo at the moment, and Sinn Féin is in opposition, there's nothing it can do about it, but the government can, and you think it's now time for the government to really pull this bull by the horns and actually look at this whole issue of the carers' allowance. They've talked the talk, now it's time to walk the walk.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't oppose it at the time, but they made great grandiose plans of how they're going to resolve it if back in government, and they might have got even votes from people in Anthony's predicament who believed their promises. But look, it's a year later, and that's why I want to pay tribute to Anthony for coming on, raising this issue again, putting it front and centre again, so those politicians that are in government can hear it, realise that they failed thousands of families across the state, and maybe now feel the pressure, feel the burn, and know that they need to take action on this issue, because it's not going to go away, and the carers that I feel are being exploited won't be lying down on it.
At the very least, one would have thought that the thresholds should be increased significantly, because from what Anthony has been telling us, it's like they're not far off the breadline at the moment. It isn't as though they're a filthy rich family bringing in a load of money and they don't need this. I mean, you know, this is something that's going to be noticed, the loss of this allowance. And the problem now is with other children hitting college age, with other children needing to, you know, be supported financially maybe for a couple of years, now more than ever, whatever bit of money the family has is going to be needed and is going to be necessary. So the very least the state needs to be doing is to be taking that into account and saying, okay, well, look, if we still have a means test, we're going to have to raise the threshold literally by tens of thousands of euro.
Like, I agree as a point of principle that the means session should be abolished as a whole, because I think on a compassionate grounds, it's the right thing, it's the morally right thing for the state to do. But like, even as a middle of the road agreement, families such as Anthony's, whose son requires 24-hour full time care, there should be some discretion for families like that are more in need of like 24 hours, 7 days a week care. There has to be some level of compassion. There has to be some kind of review that could be done, or exceptional circumstances at the very least that should be applied. I know Paddy McLaughlin's office had looked into this and was told absolutely not on those circumstances. And I think that's just so desperately unfair. Just lacks compassion and humanity as far as I'm concerned.
Anthony, can I go back to you for a moment? Because another issue that gets discussed an awful lot is the issue of respite and what the state can do to provide some form of a break for yourself, for your wife and for your family. Now, we know there's been a lot of talk about respite in Donegal and the lack of services. Your son, 19, almost sort of halfway between, you know, childhood and adulthood, and we know there's been issues with childhood respite, there's been issues with adult respite. Where do you stand in relation to the services you've been given by the state, the support you've been given by the state for things like respite? Do you get it at all?
No, we don't get anything like that. Like, there was never a facility that could... I think there was respite to a degree at a stage, but it wouldn't have been able to accommodate somebody like my son with his conditions, and like he takes a lot of medication as well. At 19, he's not entitled to home help. That would have been another point I made. Like, my father passed away 3 years ago, but for the last 2 years... we were getting home help. We were able to keep him at home, which like meant everything to us. Yep. But we just couldn't have done it without those carers that were coming in morning, afternoon and evening. But those half an hour's age, he doesn't even qualify for that because of his age. And I don't believe that's mean tested, which is kind of not a double standard, but, you know, that would be a massive help to us, but yeah, he doesn't qualify for that.
So I'm going to phrase this really clumsily, and please do forgive me for doing so, but is your son in a sense in limbo, that he's not quite a child and not quite an adult in the eyes of the state? He doesn't qualify for the home help support because he's not old enough, but he doesn't qualify for child supports because he's too old.
They fall into a bit of a hole between 16 and 18 where they don't really qualify as an adult or a child. But now that he's 19, he's considered an adult. Like, he's moved into, like, adult services.
Yeah.
You know, he used to attend Temple Street in Crumlin. Like, he'd be in hospital fairly regular. He spent 3 weeks over Christmas in hospital. He had to get surgery on his hip. But I don't know. I'm not an expert, and I'm sure somebody will correct me on this, but I don't think you qualify for the home help until you're over 65. Like, you know, it's the older generation
that's specifically home help for older people. But, I mean, it does then beg the question, do we need to be looking at things like supports in the home for people in the situation your son is in? Now, we know at the moment they don't have enough operatives to actually supply all the home help that's needed for older people. So if they were to expand the eligibility, then we go down a whole new rabbit hole of how do we actually get the personnel to provide the service. But it seems, on the one hand, it seems quite unfair that on the one hand, the state is denying you services, if we can put it as bluntly as that. But on the other hand, the state's now also denying you the little bit of money it used to give you to help support you.
I don't think they're even denying us that service. I just don't think it exists. But I mean, just the coldness, like Jack says, it's an accountancy thing. Like, we're just numbers on a spreadsheet to them. I mean, they've even, you know, even like the insult on top of injury, like they swooped in immediately, and like my wife would have been entitled to a travel pass. Not that AJ can travel on public transport, but she had that. We have a younger son that travels semi-regularly to appointments in Dublin, and they swooped in and they took that. You used to get an exemption on a TV license, swooped in and took that. Once you get a respite grant, swooped in and they took that too. It's just like the letters just came in one after the other into the house, and myself and my wife just sat at the kitchen table and just looked at you and thought, you know, Jesus Christ, guys, you know, this is cold. Like, this is just, you know, they do not care. They do not care. I mean, and I'm sure in this last round of means testing, I'm sure that there's a lot of people just like us sitting at home now listening to this show in the same situation. Yeah. And just like, you feel like you can do nothing. So I was driving to Letterkenny yesterday to pick up a van, and I just worked myself up into such an annoyance that I started WhatsApping local councillors just to see any feedback. Jack came back to me straight away. I'm like I said, I'm not a party guy. I vote for the man. Jack came back straight away, and we had a long back and forth. And Padraig McLaughlin, he came to our assistance several years back when we were having issues. AJ again. AJ is the only guy I fight for. My other kids can fight their own battles. But there was an issue with segregation after COVID, getting the special needs classes back into the mainstream in school. And Padraig McLaughlin helped me that time. It's just, I don't know what to say. You just feel kind of, I don't even know what word to put on the way I'm feeling. It's, you know, I can't say it's about the money, but you're going to notice the money. You know, we're a hardworking family, and we're trying to provide a certain level of living for our family, all parents do. You know, you work for a living, you pay your taxes, you grumble about paying your taxes, but you pay your taxes. You know, and we do manage, you know, it's a family affair. Like I say, our younger kids, they help out with the childcare. Like, somebody always has to be at home. You know, we don't have the same kind of social life that regular families have, I know, but, you know, we're doing okay. It's just, then the government or the state comes and says, you're doing great there. Well done, pat you on the head. And we'll just take this couple of pounds back after you. You don't need that. And off they go.
Anthony, very articulately put, and thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. The story is now out there, and hopefully people will hear that story. It's going to resonate with a lot of people, I believe. I think a lot of people will be given very serious food for thought by what you've said. Jack, just want to give the final word to you. I'm in this job long enough to have literally over the years read hundreds, if not thousands, of government responses to parliamentary questions and Dáil queries, and they all start the same. In the past 2 years, the government has spent X number of million pounds on services the government provides, and it'll give 2.5 pages of everything the government does on a macro level and on a national level, and it'll bandy figures about like confetti at a wedding, and the bottom line is, it will not address Anthony's story. It will not address the stories of hundreds of others, perhaps thousands of others out there like Anthony and his family who are in that situation.
Absolutely, and undoubtedly, it's thousands of families. And just as the old saying goes, a society should be judged by how it treats its most vulnerable. And like Anthony said there repeatedly, it's the right word, is cold. This letter was cold. This action is cold. And I think we as Irish people, as Irish society, are much better than this. And I think this has to be addressed. Like, it reflects badly on all of us if we don't take action on this. So again, look, Simon Harris, time last November, said that he's a man who listens and takes action. So we're a year later, it has to be done for Anthony's family and for the thousands of others. It's just plain wrong.
Anthony and Councillor Jack Murray, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. A very important issue to discuss now, because there is an event taking place on Wednesday of next week at the Courtyard Shopping Centre, being hosted by Letterkenny CDP. It's World Suicide Prevention Day, and the theme of the event in the Courtyard is changing the narrative around suicide. I'm joined in studio by James Devenny from the CDP. James, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed. James, talk to us about this event that's taking place in the Courtyard. It is a hugely important one.
This event has been in the planning for a while now, but we just thought, no, this year we will definitely go with it in conjunction with World Suicide Day, because it is an issue that's impacting the whole community and communities the length and breadth of Ireland. From every single person within the community, from the Gardaí to the emergency service, to the clergy, to families, to professionals, you'd be hard pressed to find a person that hasn't been impacted by a bereavement from suicide. And we decided just to hold an event to remember the people that passed by suicide, but also to challenge that stigma, that yeah. block that there is around talking about suicide.
Changing the narrative is the theme. What sort of changes do you believe are necessary in terms of the way this issue is discussed?
The big one, myself, I would say would need to be changed, is just the fact that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to say the word. I would have did the suicide assist training back a few years ago, and it was one of the big learning curves for me on it, that it's okay to ask that question rather than dance around it. And if I ask the question, it might put it in somebody's mind, but it's okay to say the word. It's okay to ask that question. Are you thinking of taking your own life? And have that conversation rather than dancing around it, not talking about it. Because I know from my own experience, I had a couple of people very close to me that died by suicide. One, a partner back about 15 years ago, and a best friend died a few years ago. And it was that thing, when people's talking to you, they would call it anything but use the word suicide. Mm. You know, when that happened, when she died, you know, instead of using the word, like, people can use the word cancer, they can use the word addiction. Mm. They can even use the word murder, but suicide, there seemed to be a block there with it. And this event is to, I suppose, chip away at that stigma that it's okay to have the conversation and it's okay. Like at the time, I was okay with people saying it, but people thought, no, we better not say the word. You know,
yeah.
It was almost like the person didn't die of a cold. You know, the person died by suicide and it's okay to say the word, you know.
And another issue is And I know a lot of people don't like the use of the word, and it's going to a certain extent, but the word commit. It was talking about people committing suicide in the same way as people commit crimes, and that is to say the least, unhelpful.
Commit, I don't like that
no.
word myself. It has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
There is no, I suppose, there's no perfect word, but I prefer to use the word somebody passed by suicide,
yeah.
died by suicide. You know, because
and the other thing is, of course, the realisation that mental illness is becoming so prevalent now in conversation today. And the reality is, if someone has cancer, we know that it interferes with the cells in the body, and the cells in the body attack each other, and it creates conditions in the body where the body cannot sustain itself, and the body shuts down and the person passes away. Likewise, a mental illness can do things
yeah.
physically in the brain that causes the thought processes within the person to take a certain direction, and a negative and potentially tragic direction. But they're doing it not by personal choice. They're doing it because at the root of it is an illness
yeah.
which is physically affecting their body.
Yeah, very often it's not a decision taken lightly by the people. It's a decision that can take a while to take, but behind it all is either mental health, addiction, trauma. You know, there's so many issues that can lead to it. Breakup, loss, even in our own county here, Micah. You know, there's so many things that can lead to the person making that decision that I can't take any more of this and I'm backed into a corner and this is the only option that I can see at this present time for me.
I absolutely appreciate that. James, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, would you mind staying with us? We do need to take news at 11 o'clock, but I don't want to rush this to an end.
No problem.
I want to give you time to get this out. So yeah. If you don't mind standing by with us, we're going to take a short break, then we'll take the news headlines with Donna Marie, and then James will get back to yourself, if that's okay.
No problem.